Hey everyone, and let's see how we're going. So it's been a long time since I've been live. Honestly, it's been like 2 weeks. First up, like I did have an emergency kind of travel plan that I had to go to. And unfortunately, I didn't have the time because it was that urgent that I couldn't record any podcasts in the future or even go live during the time that I was overseas. The next thing was I was actually sick as soon as I got back from there. And unfortunately, being so sick to the point where I couldn't even stare at my screen, I couldn't reply to any messages, couldn't even reply to any emails as well regarding work. So the bare minimum that I did was look after my clients as much as I could, replying to their messages while I was resting too. Now, you can probably hear it in my voice right now that I am not quite 100%, but I feel so much better. And my energy levels are probably sitting around that 80% mark. So I am on the mend, and I thought to myself, with no more time to delay, it's time to actually get back onto what I enjoy and what I love doing, which is teaching all the ladies out here about how you can start to be the best version of yourself, essentially. And this Project Hourglass podcast is honestly just a huge passion project to make sure I can spread the good information out there for absolutely free. So let's get straight into the episode today, and we're going to start right now. So welcome to another episode of the Project Hourglass podcast. My name is Sean, and of course, I'm here to help you out when it comes to losing weight, toning up, building great glutes, building that hourglass body, but also debunking any bullshit when it comes to actual fat loss and nutrition too. Now, for those of you who don't know who I am, maybe this is your first episode, maybe you've seen me go live multiple times, you're like, what is this dude on about? I'm a personal trainer, and I have been for the last almost 13 years now. I'm also an exercise physiologist and also a nutrition coach too. And what I do is I specialize in teaching ladies on how to actually shape and transform their body without having to give up their favorite foods. So right now you're listening to this episode and I'm talking about losing 5 kilos and toning up without the guilt of giving up the foods that you love. So the reason why this actually came about is, well, I've got a lot of ladies in my group and in my tribe. They're making amazing progress and they all want to be able to get to that next stage. They want to be able to know how they can start to eat the foods that they love without the guilt involved. Do they have to give up ice cream all the time? Do they have to give up chocolate all the time? We just had Easter just pass by and I don't think I've had to tell one person that you cannot eat chocolate. I always tell them that as long as you can make it work within your day, and also make it work within your goal too. So this is the goal that we're trying to get. We're trying to spread the knowledge of how we can make more sustainable fat loss or even long-term journeys in your fitness transformation. So right now, I'm going to share 3 little tips that are going to help you out. It's not going to be full in depth because I don't want to bore you with the science, but if you ever feel like you want to have a great conversation with this, don't be afraid to DM me. I'm happy to break this down in more detail for you to understand, and we can create a bit of a conversation from here. So ladies, let's first paint the picture. Maybe you have been a person who wanted to lose so much weight, or you wanted to tone up for a special event, and you just haven't been able to do so because you're uncertain about the foods that you have to cut out. Now, if you can see this camera right now, you can probably tell that I'm Asian, but I'll get so many Asian people, ladies, men, whatever, like, I'm Asian, I have to give up rice. I can't give up rice. I'm like, I don't know what to tell them. Like, I look at them and I look at me, I'm like, am I not Asian? Can I also eat rice? So I know for a fact, if you're someone like that and you just don't want to give up rice or pasta or whatever it might be, these are the tools that we can use to help you. You don't have to give up things like chocolate, like we just mentioned before. We make these things work. So before we get into the nitty gritty of all of that, the first thing we need to understand, no matter what it might be, if you're on a fat loss goal, building muscle goal, building glutes goal, you don't have to give up any foods. It's about how much of that food are you willing to actually adjust within your goal and your lifestyle. So the first thing we're going to talk about is actually the food relationships. Do you even have a good food relationship? And I ask this because, well, I don't know about you, but when I first graduated from high school, I then got my first full-time job, and all I wanted to do was experience eating food out with friends. That was because it wasn't for the food itself. It was actually for the fact that I was able to eat food with friends people that I just met, people I study with, people that I thought maybe these are the people I'll hang out most of my time out with. And that's how we tend to bond and also build relationships. Because you're building up your own money, you start to hang out with friends, you want to be able to eat more food with them because you want to hang out with them more, right? Now, not all of us actually have this because you may associate food more so with the socializing aspect like I did. But what about your food relationships? How often do you actually eat out? Now, I actually have a look into this. And as I talk about this, do a actual deep dive into your life and what you do with this. How often do you actually eat out? Now, when I was in my busiest time, I didn't cook. I didn't clean. I'm just joking, I'm kidding. I didn't cook though, because in my household, I wasn't able to cook. Cooking was not a thing for me when I was growing up. So I needed to make sure I made a lot of controls in my life. So I would always buy my food out because I was making money. I was making my first full-time job or whatever it might be. I was like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to eat. I'm going to enjoy. And I started to realize this started to become twice a day. It started to become three times a day. It started to become 5 days a week, whatever it might be. So my relationship with food was that it was also my freedom. Now I have my own house, so I have my own freedom. Now, another question you might want to ask yourself with food relationships is, how often do you resort to food as a form of relaxation, stress relief, happiness, and also enjoyment too? Now, there's absolutely no problem with being able to relax and eat some food. There's absolutely no problem with having to enjoy and socialize like we were talking about before. But if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday event, that's 7 days of the week that you're going out to eat food. Is there something that you're trying to avoid by also going out and eat? Could it be the fact that you plain don't know how to cook? Could it be the fact that you're trying to avoid going home so you go out and eat instead? Could it be the fact that because you stay up so late, you always rely on buying food instead of actually coming home to cook the food? So once you start to realize these factors, for me, it was a massive stress relief. So another part of my life, when I was opening my own gym and I was stressed out, I had multiple times where I had to work with business owners, staff members, and even just clients as well. You get really stressed and overwhelmed, and maybe you can relate to this. You go out, you smash a burger, you eat the burger, and you're like, shit, I still feel pretty bad. And that was what happened to me. I was eating food as a form of stress relief without even knowing it. And before I knew it, I was realizing I was eating 3 or 4 burgers per day, and then I had gained X amount of kilos. And once I started to use food as my form of relaxation or my vice, so to speak, it started to affect my health. So when you start to have better food relationships, this is what will help you go further, even with the tips I'm about to show you later on. This is actually a really important question I started asking a lot of my clients, my future clients, because I have had people with these relationships with their foods, is how often do you hide your food eating habits from friends or family or even your loved ones? There used to be a guilt in me if I would eat burgers after work on a Monday to Thursday because of stress. Now, if I didn't tell my wife, first, A, it felt like I was actually not allowing her to enjoy the moment with me. But B, it felt like I was doing something naughty that I probably shouldn't be. And I knew I wasn't able to do this or shouldn't be doing this because it was such a bad relationship with my food. So if you're having those kind of guilt relationships now, whether it's saying that you're having a relationship with food where it you know you shouldn't be doing it, then that's something that you need to address first. And I've had actually one of my clients I was so proud of her for telling me this last week. She was saying that I used to be so stressed at work that the only thing that I could do and control was how much food I could put in my mouth, even though I wasn't even hungry. And once she started to realize this, she found herself actually putting quality food into her body, training harder, and unlike ever before, she was actually able to finally lose those 6 kilos. And once you start to lose that 1 kilo, once you start to lose 2 kilos, you know how to start to lose 6, 7, 8, 9 and keep it off as well. So it all starts with one of those steps that you may think is actually invisible to you. Trust me when I say, when you start to establish a strong relationship with your food for the given goal that you might have, toning up, building muscle, losing weight, feeling more confident, you're going to be able to understand what's happening here. And this doesn't just extend to just, this doesn't just exclusively talk about food. This also goes to things like smoking, drinking alcohol, watching too much TV. I just talk about food because it's the topic for today. But have a think about that. Maybe you're just scrolling social media, but hopefully you found me. The second thing that you can do to start to lose that 5 kilos, turn up without the guilt as well, is actually starting to use that cold, hard facts. You might be that person like me who like, oh, look, I prefer cold, hard facts. Facts don't lie, numbers don't lie. So counting your damn calories is going to be happening here, okay? Numbers don't lie unless you don't do it appropriately. If you're not doing accurately and consistency to get better numbers each time, then you probably start to see yourself, hey, look, I need to understand what's happening here. So counting your damn calories is going to be one of the most important things. And I want to actually open this up with, did you know that people who happen to lose weight doing diet cuts happen to be the people who gain the weight fastest if they do not have a protocol afterwards? And the reason why this happens is because we don't have an appropriate reverse dieting protocol. Now, this is not an episode that we're talking about reverse dieting, but reverse dieting does require you to have A, a really good food relationship, and B, the ability to count your calories. And this is where we can actually start to help people who have lost weight start to rebuild their metabolism so they don't have to live off 1,000 calories, because fat loss eventually gets you to a low amount of calories, and start to maintain that body weight with a high amount of calories. So let's go into the actual skill of this. This is why it's so important. There's one time I went to uni and I had packed absolutely no food, okay? And I'm still in my head going, all right, I still need to try and find something that's healthy. So I went to the cafeteria and I looked into the bain-marie. Little did I know, I was like, look, spinach, patisserie, whatever it might be. Let's get a spinach roll as opposed to the sausage roll, because this is probably going to have a smaller amount of fats. I was so hungry, right? So rule number one, if you're ever hungry, don't go shopping. Make sure you pack something if you can, or make sure you understand that rule and go, okay, I need to actually take my time to look back at it. So I smashed that spinach roll, and I was in a fat loss phase at the time. And I'll tell you what I know now and what I've done. But when I ate those spinach rolls, like the best thing ever, right? And I was like, yeah, I did the right thing. I ate that instead of eating the sausage roll. Then I read the label. Thinking in my head that this is no meat, this is a spinach roll, spinach and ricotta roll, it should have less. I looked at the label and it actually had up to 45 grams of fat. This actually meant it had more calories than the actual sausage roll. And I looked at it and I was like, well, crap. I've eaten a good bargain amount of my daily intake and I still have to hit 200 grams of protein. And that means I would have to eat things like chicken breasts and things that are very lean to make up for this. Now, if I knew what I knew right now, you know, I was still quite young at the time, I would have just moved on with the next day and learned from that lesson, as opposed to trying to stuff myself with like 400 grams of chicken breast because I was trying to make sure I wasn't going to go over my fats. It was the worst day of my life because I was trying to hit my macros to the T. But knowing that skill beforehand would have helped me out so much more. Because imagine how many people are out there thinking that they're eating the healthier meal without actually learning how to read the food label. Here's another example. Maybe you work in an office, and if you're in Australia, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And you head over to the snack aisle thinking, I want something a little bit light, crispy, salty, still something I can eat while I'm trying to work, and something light as well. I already said light. So I'm going to grab a packet of those yellow and orange veggie chips. If you know what I'm talking about, let me know. And I'm just going to eat this. And the label on top of it says less than 100 calories per serving. Amazing. If you were to eat that whole packet, there is 5 servings in there. There's 90 calories per serving. You would actually be eating 450 calories of just veggie chips. So this is why it's so important to be able to learn how to read your food labels, read how many calories are in there and what you're actually putting to your body. Because you may have the best intent, but don't forget that food labels are there for a reason. And they're there to actually put the cold, hard facts in. So you can still have that and learn to be able to adjust accordingly. because this is the last tip I'm going to tell you right now on how to actually lose your weight and tone up. It's all about the prolonged journey and learning it instead of doing this whole fucking, I'm going to do everything possible and then I'm going to do absolutely nothing. How about we work with something in between? There are so many people out there who's like, I'm all fucking in or I'm all fucking out. You have to make sure you understand what you're doing. Mentally, you can be all in, but it doesn't mean that you only have to do everything possible. It means that you might have to find what is possible and 100% of where you are right now in your skill set. So if you're the type of person who's like, look, I can train 3 days per week and that's my 100% right now, good. Make sure you do 100% of those 3 days per week and do the best that you can. Inevitably, you're going to hit a day where you cannot get 3 days per week. So you're going to do 2 days per week. And that week, you're going to make sure those 2 days of training is going to be the best that you can muster with the energy that you have. And then you start to work with your nutrition too. So instead of going, you know what, Monday wasn't perfect, I'm just going to give up on the other 6 days of the week, this is what's going to set you back. This is what's going to cause more problems for you. So once you start to learn, and you're not going to be able to do it perfectly, especially when it comes to counting calories using MyFitnessPal and learning how to know which foods are going to be best for the situation that you're in. But as long as you, like me with a spinach roll, learn from that mistake and go, next time, we're going to make sure we do something different here. So from what I know and what I want to do now is A, make sure I actually have some protein bars in my bag if I was still going to uni. B, make sure I go to a different place for food rather than the cafeterias in uni, because let's be honest, like they're not there to give you healthy food. They're there to make money and they're there to give you disgustingly overpriced food. And then I would also start to go and see what I could eat instead. So once I knew those things, I would also read the food label first before I bought it and ate it. So once we start to see these rules, I'm like, okay, development is what we're looking at. Progress over time is what we're looking at. Perfect over rate. But we start to see I was getting further and further once we never allow ourselves to quit, because we're starting to make progress each time by learning what we're doing. We're learning more and more about our food relationships so we don't, you know, eat chocolate in the closet because we feel guilty about it. We're not doing things like guessing what we need to eat. We're actually reading food labels, counting your calories, and seeing what actual macros you need to hit per day and understanding how this makes you feel as well. We're also starting to think about the long-term journey. It's not just for the next 6 weeks. It's not just for the next 12 weeks. It's not even just for the next 12 months. You're starting to realize that health and fitness is part of your life and it's never going to leave. And in some shape, way, or form, you're always going to be conscious about your food intake. You're always going to be conscious about how much exercise you're going to be doing per week. And this is how you start to realize that there is absolutely no guilt that needs to be part of this process. So hopefully that was something that will help you out. Now, I'm not going to leave you empty-handed. This is actually the exclusive place where you're going to hear about it first. I am going to be doing another 14-day challenge for the year of 2024. For the 14-day challenge, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you step-by-step exercises of what to do in the gym or training from home, no matter which one you choose. I'm going to tell you the food guidelines of what you need to eat to be able to tone up, lose weight, and also build muscle too, along with the training program I gave you. I'm going to have a forum for all the ladies that are part of this as well. And I'm going to be your personal coach, helping and guiding you through for the next 14 days. Now, here's the kicker, okay? It's only available for the next 20 ladies. That's why I said that I'm going to tell everyone on live first and anyone who's listening to this podcast first, because I'm not going to let anyone else know in my emails or even on Instagram, publicly in a post or anywhere else until another 7 days from now. So if you are absolutely in for this 14-day challenge, just let me know. If you're on Instagram, send me a DM and say 14-day challenge. If you're listening to this on the podcast, head over to my Instagram, which is my new handle, Coach Sean, full stop, hourglass. Send me a message and say 14-day challenge. If you're listening to this podcast as well, I'm also going to put the link in the description, and it's going to be a link about the 14-day challenge waitlist. Please make sure you fill that in. Put your best answers in, because I can only select the first 20 ladies who put in their submissions. Okay. Once you've done that, I'll read through all the submissions. I'll prove whoever's the first 20 that I believe are going to do really well in this challenge, who are mentally bored and prepared to actually make lifelong changes. And I'll help you to help you out, okay? That is all I've got for today. Thank you so much. This is my first podcast back, and I'll see everyone tomorrow. Take care, everyone.